Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Wow, praise the Lord. Well, please tell your neighbor, God gave me the best neighbor in Uganda today. I really believe he did. So we are so happy to be together with you. We have known Pastor Julius for some time, and Pastor Gary and Marilyn also. We are so happy to be here. Falling in love with Uganda is very easy, right?
Oh, yes. I'm so touched and I'm so thankful to Jesus when I see what he's doing through you. Thank you for allowing him to use you to minister to so many people. I'm so touched to see everything that you managed to do and see the lives changed. I'm impressed and thankful to Jesus at the same time. So God bless you so much.
Amen. Yeah. Wow. She's the most beautiful girl in all of Russia, just so you know. And she's my wife. So once again, also Pastor Julius, thank you so much for the opportunity to come to Kampala to see the work. You've taken so good care of us. You've been so hospitable to us. We are really, really touched by that. And it's an honor in the fear of the Lord also to be here to share the Word of God with you. And just a couple of words on who we are. Well, actually, me and my wife here also from Norway. But just like Pastor... Amen, Pastor Gary and Marilyn. We became missionaries 30 years ago. God called us to leave Norway and to move to Moscow. I think we have a picture here. Yes, they're from the Red Square in Moscow. So that was what we were supposed to do. So we're leading a church there called Word of Life. And we have also different campuses, several meetings in the main campus. The next picture. But once in a while, we rent a big exhibition hall to at least to try to gather some part of the church in one meeting. So these are some of the church members. And then from time to time, we have big things happening because we get amazing preachers visiting us. And the next picture, this is Pastor Julius. Wow, in Moscow. So let's praise God for Pastor Julius. Amen. And Venita and Marilyn has also been with us. They've been speaking in women's conference. So we have a very, very good relationship with you. And you need to know that you have many, many friends in Russia and in Moscow. We have a network of more than 300 churches. So wherever you go in Russia, make sure you contact us and we'll find a good church that you can attend. Amen. So, well, I'm going to share the Word of God with you now a little while. And I'm going to share a message. And I call this message, as your days, so shall your strength be. And what I want to do today, because there is so many things I could speak about. I'm here one Sunday. I'm going to share one message. And I decided to share with you the verse in the Bible that is mine. You know, many of us, we maybe have a personal scripture that we feel this is really my verse in the Bible. And there is a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 33 that has been following me since I was a little boy when I was 5 years old and I was in hospital. Since that time, this word has followed me through all kinds of circumstances. It is when Moses is blessing the 12 tribes of Israel. And he says about the tribe of Asher, Deuteronomy 33 verse 25, your sandals shall be iron and bronze. And then he says, as your days, so shall your strength be. One of the many promises in the Bible. And what is this all about? Well, the thing is that our days are different. Some days are bright and wonderful, full of hope. Other days are more common and maybe a little boring. Some days are also difficult. But this promise says that as your days, so shall your strength be. The Lord knows what you need today. He knows what is going on in your life today. And he has the strength for this day, for the challenges and opportunities that these days bring you. And my life has also, of course, I've experienced a lot of different things. But this verse has stayed with me. And I've quoted it so many times in all kinds of situations. And today I'm going to share this with you. I remember, for example, when I was inaugurated as a youth pastor in the former millennium. There was some, farmers praying to me, some elders in the church. And one of these farmers, he prophesied over my life when I was a young guy. And the words were like this, Matsula, So says the Lord, every time you go up to preach, I'm going to be with you. And the thing is, he didn't say most of the times. He didn't say some of the times. He said every time. And that's what I want you to believe today also. God is every time. God is every day. He is faithful. And whatever you're going through today, God is with you. And he has the grace, the anointing, the strength that you need for this day. If you believe that, let's give him a clap offering. Amen. And what I want to do now, I want us to travel a little together with the prophet Elijah. The Bible says about the prophet Elijah in James 5:17, when James is teaching about how the Lord heard his prayer. He says these words about Elijah, that he was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, that Elijah was not some kind of, you know, super person that we cannot identify with. No, James says he was a man with a nature like ours. Sometimes the heroes of the Bible can seem like far away from us, but it shouldn't be like this. They were human beings with their strengths, with their weaknesses, that we should read their stories and understand that God was God to them. He is God to us also. And how he helped them, how he was with them, he will be with us and help and strengthen us also. So what we're going to do now today, that we're going to look at three different chapters in the Bible that speaks about Elijah. 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19. And I'm going to show you three very different days in his life, three very different circumstances. And I'm going to show you how the Lord was with him and gave him strength for these different times of his life. And then as I do this, I'm also going to share some things from my life and similar situations that I have been in to encourage you so you can go home today kind of with this word in your heart, as my days are, so will my strength be. Amen. Okay, so let us start in 1 Kings 17. And the first thing I want to say something about is strength when circumstances change. And the story goes like this, that Elijah lived at a time in Israel where the people have turned away from the Lord. The king was Ahab. He was a bad king. And the queen was even worse. Her name was Jezebel. You know, thank God I'm not married to a girl like Jezebel. She was a witch, you know. She was one of the most evil people you can read about in the Bible. And they were ruling Israel. And they've turned the people away from the Lord. But Elijah was there, and he was faithful to God. And let's read from the beginning of the chapter what the Lord spoke to him. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." And then he says in verse 6, "The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." Say hallelujah. A little more emotions. Hallelujah. Wow. God is taking care of Elijah in a time of drought. There is this brook there with fresh water as much as you want. And the ravens are bringing him bread and meat. Earth, morning and evening, and everything is fine. And Elijah is there during this drought, during this famine, saying, "Praise God, you are taking care of me." But then it says in verse 7, "And it happened after a while that the brook dried up." Well, come on. Why? Everything was so fine, and suddenly the brook dries up. And I can imagine how he could have thought, "God, what wrong have I done? You know, life was so fine and suddenly there's no water any longer. Maybe the Lord has now remembered all my sins. Yeah, finally, he know what I have done. So now he's taking away the water." Elijah could have thought all kind of weird things. And you know, sometimes life changes. Sometimes things happen that we didn't expect. And the brook was a blessing. And even the blessing just disappears. And this can happen to you and me also. I remember when I grew up, I I studied for many, many years. I was in different schools, in different universities. I remember my father, he once said, he was standing with some friends, and I was standing there also. He said, "My son Matsula, he doesn't want to work. He's an eternal student." Because I was studying continuously until I was around 29 years old. And in all kind of things. And when you're a student, you know what you are. Then you're fighting to have enough money. Do we have any students here? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But you know what happened? When I was 29 years old, I got my first really work as a youth pastor, and I got a salary. And I had money coming into my bank account every month. I found a girl. I got married. I built a house. And things were so good. And then one morning in the spring of 1996, out of the blue, the Lord spoke to me, "Leave everything and move to Russia." And I knew if I did that, nobody would pay me a salary there. I would just have to live by faith. And I thought, well, God, things were so well here. You know, I had everything under control. But why do you want to do this to me? Well, this is how life is sometimes. Something can change. Something that maybe you were appreciating can be taken away from you. Surprises can happen. Sad things can happen. Maybe a relationship breaks up. Maybe you lost your work. Maybe something has happened with you, like it happened with Elijah, and you didn't expect this. But then I wanted to tell you that God is there when your life changes. God is there when the surprises pops up. Let's praise the Lord together. Amen. He is there for you. Because it can even be like this, that we can have the thing that we trust in. Will this brook cheer it? Everything is under control. And then maybe the Lord takes it away so you would turn to Him again and say, "God, You are the only source. You're the only well in my life." And that's what me and my wife had to do. When we moved to Russia, the first year we had no salary. We left our house in Norway. And we just had to live by faith. But the Lord took care of us. Amen. And now we see this wonderful work that is blossoming in the capital of Russia. And for Elijah, it was like this also, that after these things that happened to him, the brook dried up. It says in verse 8, 1 Kings 17, verse 8. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise, go to Sarepta, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.'" And the thing is, when the Lord led him down to Sarepta, there was an even greater miracle waiting for him there. Because then God will care for him in a most miraculous way. And this blessing would not only feed Elijah, it would feed other people also in that place. But for this to happen, the first brook had to dry up. He would have to leave that, trust God, and move further. And then the Lord took care of him. And this is a word to some of you also. Maybe something has happened in your life. Maybe you're disappointed today about something, and the Lord brought you to this meeting, or He makes you look at this on internet, because He wants to tell you, "As your days, so shall your strength be." When life changes, when surprises pops up, God will not leave you. His name is faithfulness, and He can lead you out from one blessing to one that is even bigger. If you believe that, let's praise His name together. Amen. And that's what happened to me, and you know, in different crossroads of my life. And that's what Elijah experienced also right here. And so that's happening in chapter 17, when things changed, how the Lord took care of him. And He took him from one place to an even greater blessing because Elijah continued to trust in the Lord. And then we come to chapter 18. And you know, 1 Kings 18 is one of the most famous chapters in the Old Testament. This is the big confrontation between the 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah on Mount Carmel. This is a chapter we love to read and love to be inspired by. And the background is like this, that this King Ahab had led the people away from the Lord. And Elijah, he was there to bring them back again. And then the Lord speaks to him that we'll need to gather all the people in one place. And then we're going to have a kind of competition, a confrontation between those that worship the idols and you who worship the Lord. And he speaks with the king about this. And let's read from verse 20. 1 Kings 18, verse 20. It says, "So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him.' But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, 'I alone am left the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. And listen to me now. When I read the Bible, I kind of like to travel in time and try to imagine how things really were and what happens here. They are on Mount Carmel. And I've been there several times in Israel. And you have Ahab and the 450 prophets of Baal on one side. And you have Elijah completely alone on the other. And Elijah suggests, let's build two altars, one for Baal and one for the Lord. Let's put a bull upon it, one for Baal and one from the Lord. And then we pray. You pray that God, your God, will send fire from heaven to burn up the sacrifice. And I pray to the Lord that he will send fire from heaven. And the Lord that answers with fire, he is God." It says here in verse 24, "Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." And the king and all the people who were watching, they said, "Amen, so be it." And then the story starts. These 400 prophets of Baal, they begin and they start to pray to Baal that he will send fire from heaven. And as they are praying, you know, Elijah, he starts to do the most weird things. He's alone and he walks in among these 450 prophets and he starts to mock them. He says, maybe your God is sleeping. He's not, you need to cry a little louder. Baal, Baal, you know. And if you and I were there, we would say, Elijah, calm down, please, 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 please. You're alone. There are 450. And you know what he says about these 450 Baal prophets? As they were praying, the Bible says they were cutting themselves with knives so the blood was gushing out. These are like the movies that you're not supposed to watch, okay? And he's walking among these people. And we would say, Elijah, what are you doing? Don't mock them. They could kill you any second. But he's completely fearless. He's not afraid of anything. He mocks them. You don't cry loud enough. Come on. Maybe you're God. You know, maybe he's not listening. And when they finally are finished, we are just happy that Elijah is still alive. Praise the Lord. He's still alive. Amen. And now Elijah is supposed to pray to the Lord. And the first thing he says, "Bring me some water and I pour it on the altar." And we say, "Elijah, what are you doing? This is supposed to burn, you know, and you're pouring water on it. This is not a good thing to do, Elijah." And then a second time, he says, "Bring more water and pour it on the altar." And we say, "God, what are you doing? You know, right now, let's think like this. No fire there, no fire here. Draw. That's a really good result today for us. Okay, let's settle with this, Elijah. And you're still alive." But you know, he called for water for a third time. He pours it all over the water, all over the sacrifice. And we can say, "How can you be like this?" Well, I'll tell you what it is. This is not the boldness of man. This is a man standing in the calling that God has given to him. This is the strength that comes from the Lord upon someone who is doing his will. This is not just a madman. This is not the boldness of a human being. This is a person who's been called to turn the heart of Israel back to the Lord. And as your days are, so shall your strength be. And this is what I've experienced so many times also. When I have felt small, little, in front of the challenges that God has given to me. How can this be? How can I do this? I remember when I was in Bible school. Some of you guys here from Norway, you're in school right now. When I was in Bible school, I come from a church in Norway that was a very famous church. It was like one of the centers of the charismatic renewal that swept through Europe in the late 1970s, and my church, we had 3 or 4 big conferences yearly. People came from all over Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, from many nations to be in this church. And the pastor of the church, he was one of the most famous preachers and pastors in the country. And I was just a guy in the church, just a guy. You know, usher, I was, you know, singing in the choir, and then I went to Bible school, and just when I came back from Bible school, just completely, suddenly, the pastor quit. It was some kind of scandal, and he left the church, and the church was without a pastor, and the board of elders gathered, and they invited me, and I still remember they started sitting in a circle, and then the leader of the board of elders, he said, "We have no pastor, but we have Matsula." I said, "Lord, what do you mean?" Yeah. And he said, "Well, he has been in Bible school, so now he will be the spiritual leader of the church." And if someone would say this to you, you maybe be very happy and say, "Finally, yeah, now my time has come." I was scared to death. You know, the whole country was looking at this church. I never preached. You know, I was just a guy, and I was supposed to lead the church. And I remember the first Sunday, when I was supposed to preach after this, I was standing on the first row. The worship team was singing, and I felt my throat getting more and more narrow by the second. And I thought, this is not going to go. I felt myself sweating, and I think, if I go up there now, it's going to be a disaster. And the worship team kept on singing. And you know, sometimes when the worship team is singing, sometimes the anointing comes in such a way that just keep on singing the whole meeting, so there is never any sermon. And I thought, maybe this is a meeting like that, you know. You keep on singing. But finally they stopped. And then they looked at me. And I was standing there. And I said, "Lord, help me." And I went up. But I tell you, in the second I came behind that pulpit, the fear was gone. Second was gone. And it never came back again. Second I came behind there, you know what I felt? I felt like Elijah on Mount Carmel. I felt bold as a lion. And I preached my heart out to the church. I'm sure I thought this was better than what the church thought. I don't know about that. But I know one thing. As your days are, so shall your strength be. If the Lord calls you to do something, He will be there at the moment when you need Him. He will give the strength. The strength doesn't come from you. And that's what I see in Elijah also. When he stands up against his 450 crazy men, cutting themselves with knives, being totally fearless. It's not him, it's the anointing of the Lord upon a man that is willing to do what God has called him to do. Amen. Let's praise the name of the Lord together. Because feeling humble or small in front of a calling, there's nothing wrong in that. Because that may be the best thing that we can feel. Because this will make us trust upon the Lord, knowing that I'm not able to do this by myself. But what you must never do, you must never let that hinder you to do what God has called you. Never let hinder you to take the step that you feel the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. When we were pastoring there in Norway for around 8 years, and the thing were very, you know, fine with us also, when the Lord suddenly then called us to move to Russia, to the capital of Russia, a city with 15 to 17 million people. And we didn't know the language, we didn't know anything, but I had a word: as your days, so shall your strength be. And sometimes that's all you need, a word from the Lord, a promise: I will be with you. I'll give you the strength that you need to build a church, to train leaders, to preach the gospel. And that's how the Lord has been with us. I know, and my wife know, you know, when this happened, we were nothing. But this is how the Lord works. He finds someone who trusts Him, and then He sends His word. And if you and I, if we are willing to go, if we are willing to do what the Lord calls us to do, we're going to see amazing things happen, just as it was in the life of Elijah. Amen. Let's praise His name one more time. Amen. And it says also here, we can read what happened then in verse 38 and 39, when after Elijah has poured water on this altar 3 times, I'm sure everybody thought, what in the whole world is this man doing? Well, he poured water on the altar 3 times, and then he prayed to the Lord, and it says in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Amen. Elijah's obedience to the Lord turned the whole people to God. At least this day. Amen. And that's what God can do to any one of you, no matter how small you feel, no matter how insignificant you are. When the Lord calls, when He speaks to us, if we are willing, okay, I'll go and trust you. As my days are, so shall my strength be. We're going to see what God can do in this world. Amen. So that was two of the chapters, chapter 17 and 18. And then there is one more, because I cannot share my testimony. I cannot preach this sermon without also reading something from chapter 19. Because this is another day in the life of Elijah, a very different. The first chapter 17 is about when life changes, something, a blessing disappeared, God brought in an even greater one. Chapter 18 is when Elijah is in the middle of his calling, the strength of the Lord is upon him. And then chapter 19, it's a completely different story. And this is about strength under attack. And because what happens after this amazing victory for the cause of the Lord at Mount Carmel, the wife of the king, Jezebel, she's furious with Elijah, and she curses him. She sends out messengers, I'm going to find Elijah and kill him. And then for some reason, Elijah, he gets so scared. And he says about him, the 1 Kings 19 and verse 3, he says, and when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I know better than my father's. And as he lay, and slept under a broom tree. Amen. What happened? Elijah's line, he's like the main hero of the Bible, the prophet of fire. And then suddenly, you know, he ran for his life and he sits down and said, God, take my life. What happened? Well, remember what James said about him. Elijah was a man with the same nature as ours. He was not a superman. And then suddenly he's taken by surprise, because this is not just a human threat. Jezebel was a witch. And this curse somehow hits him unprepared. And the spirit of fear or despair comes upon him. And he doesn't know what to do. He ran away. He wants to be alone. And then he says to the Lord, take my life. Maybe there's somebody here. And you also said that. Lord, take my life. Because sometimes darkness can catch up to us so strongly, as it happened here in the life of Elijah also. And he's kind of, Elijah's been in Bible school. He should know what to do. You shouldn't do like this, Elijah. You should stand up and you should do like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But he's just overwhelmed. And I don't know about you, but I had my days also. I'm a pastor in the church, and there have been days I've been so attacked by darkness that I've maybe focused only about surviving from one day to another. And we are in a spiritual battle. And when Elijah is at this point here, the word of God just has something wonderful to say. And it says in verse 5, the last part of the verse, then suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And then he looked, and thereby said was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank. And when Elijah doesn't come to God, God comes to Elijah. And he doesn't only come to encourage him. He comes with bread and water. That's what we ate today in the communion. The body of Christ, the blood of Jesus, the word and the spirit. He comes and gave him something to bring life back to him. Elijah, it's not over yet. There are more things to do. This darkness is not going to overcome you. I'm here as your days. So shall your strength be also. I am with you even at the darkest hour of your life. And then he feeds Elijah with the things. And he says, Elijah, he eats and he drinks. But then he says, And it says, and he lay down again. Well, why did he lay down again? But the Bible continues. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and he ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And at that mountain, Elijah would have one of the most spectacular meetings that any human being has ever had with God. And Elijah is back again. The Lord came to him. And that's maybe there are some of you, and you can identify a little with Elijah in this situation. You can just take the piano now. And maybe that's also why you came to this meeting or why you are listening. Maybe you've said these very words, take my life. Or maybe this darkness has kind of just taken away the future for you. Then I'm here to say, as your days are, so shall your strength be. The Lord knows what is going on. And he wanted you to hear this today. Because he is a God that comes to us at this point. He comes with bread and he comes with water. He comes with bread and he comes with wine. He comes with life, with his word and with his spirit. He comes to bring new life to us, to raise us up again. Jezebel is not going to have the last word in your life. She's not going to have the last word. Elijah, when the time for you to go home will come, it will not be under a broom tree. It will be in the chariot of fire when you have done what you were supposed to do on the earth. I could have told you many stories from my life. I have one story I told in the first meeting that I remember. That was during my first years in Moscow. And the city was so big. The challenges were so big. We needed a church building. Nobody wanted to lend us any money. Real estate prices were crazy. I was a pastor. And it was a Saturday. I was supposed to preach during the weekend. And I didn't know what to preach about. I remember I was sitting home and just feeling depressed. You know, God, what shall I do? And then the Lord spoke to me. I really felt, take a videotape and watch the sermon. You know, most of you don't know videotapes. That was, you know, 1,000 years ago. We had these videotapes. You remember them, some of you? Yeah, you know, I had a little library of videotapes. And sermons I'd never seen. And when I looked at it, the Holy Spirit said, take that sermon. And I didn't want to watch that sermon. No, I don't want to watch that. So I would pick another. But the Holy Spirit said, take that sermon. And I thought, no, I don't want to take that sermon. I want to find something else. And then the Holy Spirit said so strongly, take that sermon. So I almost kind of just stubbornly said, okay, I take that sermon. And I put it in. And you know, I had no idea. When that preacher started to preach, he preached about me. He knew me. And so he started to speak about Matsula. And he said like this, some of you people, you don't think that God is moving in Russia. But I tell you, God is moving in Russia. If you don't know, speak with Matsula in Moscow. He's going to tell you what God is doing in Russia. And when I hear that, I jump through the roof up on my leg. Yes, speak with me about what is going. God is doing in Russia. Huh. And I was back again. I had no idea what was on that tape. No idea. I'd never watched it. The Lord came to me as he will come to you today with the word, with the bread, with the water, with the spirit to strengthen you and to show you that he has a future. And this is what happened with Elijah also. And he stands up and he walks and the Lord takes him to Mount Horeb and then his ministry is restored. I remember another time when I was so down and I just went to a brother to seek with him. And the brother, he was a little shy, you know. I was a pastor in a big church and didn't know really what to say to him. I said, I only have a word, Matsula, you know. And, you know, God cares for you. That's what he said. But, you know, those words saved my life that day. God cares for you. Went into my heart. It lifted me up. He's going to take me through. And sometimes one word can rescue you in the most difficult point. If you believe that, let's praise the name of the Lord together. Amen. Let's praise the name of the Lord together. And let's stand up, everybody. And I want to pray with you before I close. Because maybe there is somebody here. And maybe your story is like this, that life has changed. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe something didn't work out. Maybe a relationship has broken up. Life changed. But as your days are, so shall your strength be. The Lord is with you in the changes of life to take you into something new, something better. Or maybe there is a calling of God upon your life, a challenge, maybe a very big thing or maybe not so big thing. But God challenges you, trust me. If you go, I will be there with the strength, the anointing, the grace you need to do what I put in your heart. Maybe it is like this, like with Elijah at the end. Maybe darkness has just covered your life. Then today, the Lord wants to come to you and give you bread and give you water and raise you up again and show you He has a future for you. Amen. Father, I thank you for this Sunday here in Watutu Church. I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, Father, for this wonderful promise in Deuteronomy. As your days are, so shall your strength be. And I pray, let this word come to us today, wherever we are in life, to bring new life, Father, to those who maybe are going through changes right now, to those who are standing on the threshold to step forward in ministry, Father, in the calling that you have given them, or to those maybe who are battling darkness today. Thank you, Lord, for your grace right now where we are, for freedom in the name of Jesus, for courage in the name of Jesus, for strength, grace in the name of Jesus upon everyone who is here. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you so much. Amen. Moscow loves you. We love you. Serve the Lord together.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watutuchurch.com. Hey,